Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, it is steady for me. How about you?
Yes, sir.
Cool. All right, let's roll in 3, 2, 1. Welcome, everyone, to episode 572 of the NBA podcast. I'm Brian Toporek, and today we are going to talk about the drama engulfing the Chicago Bulls, who have lost, I believe, 6 of their last 7 games, and Zach LaVine gets benched at the end of Friday night's loss to the Orlando Magic. Was none too thrilled about that, so we will discuss that. We will hit on the latest slop drop from Shams Charania about Jay Crowder being the latest on Jay Crowder. John Collins, once again, our annual John Collins trade rumors are making the rounds. So we'll get into all of that today. Before we do, a reminder that you can follow us on Twitter at the NBA Pod. You can find our Twitter handles in our bios to give us a follow as well. You can also find us on iTunes and wherever else podcasts are found. On iTunes, please subscribe, download, leave some 5-star reviews, and we're being hosted by Spreaker. So check them out on Twitter at Spreaker. Joining me today is someone who is probably deleting all of our old preseason episodes right now. Morten Jensen, how's it going?
It's going well. No. You know what? We can be wrong. It's fine to be wrong. I think that's a good thing. It's a good thing to be able to acknowledge, hey, you know what? I said something. I thought something, and my analysis was off. Like, hell, I didn't think that Paolo Banchero was going to be this good this soon. And sure. There's egg on my face. I'm eating crow, and we should all be much better, especially politicians, by the way, and be better at coming out and saying, "Hey, you know what, guys? I was wrong." I do think like the Bulls are panicking right now, as they should. Bulls fans are also just panicking, and that's the right reaction. I will say though that coming into the season, when people were down on the Bulls. And like what they thought would be the downfall of them hasn't really turned out to be that thing. Like most people argued that, oh yeah, the Bulls are going to be bad because DeMar DeRozan is like going to fall off the face of the earth. Like he's not going to be good.
Regress. Like he had a career year last year and regression was due. Yeah.
But the dude is averaging 25 points per game on 52% shooting. He just had 41 last night. Like he's basically the same guy as last year. he's been fantastic. It's been literally everything else. And I have a couple things that I'm super concerned about for the Bulls, and something that just is just really, really bad. I mean, just I thought I had it loaded. I do now. So from within 3 feet of the basket, the Bulls are a league worst. 59% shooting.
They're on offense?
On offense, like they're honestly, most of their problems are offensively driven. So the league average is 68.7% field goal percentage from within 3 feet. 68.7. They're at 59. They're the only team in the NBA below 60% shooting from within 3 feet. Mm. And like that is just preposterously bad. Like it's so bad. And those shots make up 22.5% of their offense. They don't take threes. They're 28th in the league in three-point rate. They're 16th in free throw rate too. So you're not getting extra points from the line. You're not getting extra points from the three. You're not converting inside. Basically, the only way, and this is where it gets super super concerning. The only way they have just won those six games is because they do lead the NBA in field goal percentage from 16 feet into the three-point line. Thank you, DeMar DeRozan. Where they're shooting a very unsustainable 54.2%. Like, that percentage is not going to hold up. If that's going to drop as well, and they don't get better from three-point range, and if they don't get better within, like, 3 feet of the basket, this team is going to be, like, a bottom seven team in the NBA at the end of the regular season. Like, that's the ultimate downside. That's the Debbie Downer angle. But I think it's reasonable to bring that up because they have more potential for failure. And making matters even worse, they're 25th in the league when it comes to defensive effective field goal percentage. So if teams are efficiently shooting against them, and then you kind of wonder, okay, well, they can't be bad at everything. Well, right. They can, because they're also 20th in turnovers. It's like every crucial metric that you need to have to be a good basketball team, they're bad in. They're also 20th in offensive rebounding percentage, so they don't even get second chance points. So if you add all that up, like unsustainable mid-range shooting, no points like from the three-point line or three-throw line, like horrific interior shooting, bad turnovers, no second chances, yeah, you're pretty much screwed.
Can I rain on the parade even more?
Yes, please.
Their half-court defense, according to Cleaning the Glass, is tied 24th, tied with Charlotte at 97.9 points per play for per 100 plays allowed in the half court. They're also, I mean, I was actually going to be pleasantly surprised here, because like they're shooting a lot at the rim. They're ninth league wide in those shots attempted. They're just not very good at actually hitting those shots, I guess.
No, they're literally the league worst. Yes.
Yeah. It's, I mean, opponents are burying them in three. I mean, my God, like they're shooting almost 39% from 3-point range. So, I mean, that is something that you could point to potentially as something that will regress as the season goes on, especially if and when Lonzo Ball comes back. I mean, I will say this, like I will paint the optimist case for the Bulls briefly, and then we can go back into Debbie Downer.
Slander.
Okay. Yeah. You know, they started 5-4. Mm-hmm. They beat Boston. They beat Miami, like the other Indiana, Brooklyn, Charlotte, whatever. They beat Toronto. The losses that they've had in the past 2 weeks prior to last night's game, Boston, Toronto, two against New Orleans and Denver. So it's not like, you know, they're being rolled up by Charlotte and Houston or whatever. Like they're losing to good teams.
Well, the Denver thing, I gotta say something about the Denver game because they didn't show up. I mean, they got absolutely hosed, because that suggests that the refs are after them. They got annihilated. They got completely beaten because they just didn't show up. That was a game where if you had just given a little bit of effort, you could have been in there, but they haven't, and it seems like the effort level has decreased, which is further concerning.
So I've got to ask, because you mentioned LaVine, and I think that's the big story coming out of yesterday. Again, I mean, like, if not for a miracle, Jalen Suggs' three-point attempt, the Bulls win that game. So regardless, they did not. LaVine had 4 points on 1 of 14 shooting.
Right.
Was a team worst minus 19 on the night. Played only 25 minutes. And he was benched for basically the final 4 minutes of the game. And afterward, he said, "I got to do a better job at the beginning of the game to make my shots, but you play a guy like me down the stretch. That's what I do. Do I like the decision? No. Do I have to live with it? Yeah. Be ready to put my shoes on and play the next game." So what do you make of that decision in particular from Billy Donovan and just Zach's play as a whole this year? Because I think, you know, part of the assumption, even if DeMar did regress, the assumption was, oh, well, Zach is going to, you know, help make up for that.
Right.
And so far, you know, he's at 2 years ago, he had almost 27.5 points. This year, he's down to 20.7. It's his worst mark since 2017-18, his first year in Chicago, shooting a career worst. No, actually, not a career. Wow. Second career worst.
Second worst, yeah.
41.5 overall. Is this the knee? Is that what's going on? Or do you think it's just a slow start to the season? There's hope for a turnaround? What do you think's going on with that?
So, in order, I don't mind what Billy Donovan did. Zach just didn't look right. I mean, the shot wasn't falling. He's a rhythm player. Yeah. And I think Billy also accurately identified that he wasn't bringing anything else to the table. Like, he wasn't setting guys up. Like, he wasn't breaking guys down off the bounce and, like, drawing double seams and dishing off and, like, doing the James Harden stuff, right?
Sure.
He wasn't a big defensive contributor either. So I think you were kind of looking at it going, well, okay, if right now, the way that he's playing tonight, if the only thing he can offer us is shot attempts and those aren't dropping, we just can't justify it. This is a close game. We can't afford to lose games. Like, take him out. Of course, Zach is also right in the sense that you never know, right? It's still Zach LaVine. He could be one of 14, and then he could hit his 15th shot. Like, that's because that's Zach LaVine. So I understand Zach's point. But I agree with Billy Donovan's decision as well. Like, I think these are two people that have, like, very good points to throw at one another. I don't think this is going to be, like, a lingering issue. But, like, for Zach to come out and say stuff like this, knowing full well that he's had so many different coaches, that's been a frustration level of him. He also hates the fact that he's had that many coaches. He wants to have, like, the same guy around. Now he's had Billy. This is the third year. So for him to, like, show a level of frustration to this extent towards Billy Donovan, that's concerning. That's something where I hope it's just, like, the heat of the moment, because you're just coming off a very, very tough loss, one that you're disappointing in yourself, you're disappointed in the team, you're disappointed in everything, and you just kind of rough, like, and then hopefully today you kind of cool down, like, maybe one of them had sent a text, like, we good, like, we're good. Hopefully. That would be great. But, like, it's a concern. He did start the season slow. Remember when we did the league pass rankings, I said, I think Zach is going to average 30, but at that point in time, we didn't know that there were lingering issues with his knee. We only found that out, was it prior to preseason, that there was, like, something there still, that he was playing a little bit less. And then prior to the opening game, it was like, maybe not. Like, let's not get a go. Okay. So, that just flipped the script, because we already knew that Lonzo wasn't going to be playing. We already knew that, you know, the surgery for Zach had been around. Like, we knew that there was a chance that he would be load management, but not at this stage of the season, like, not that early. So that plays a part. The bad shooting is another one. Like, he's only hitting 36% from outside. This is a guy who, over the past few years, has been above 38 on high volume. And there's just not the space, really, to operate, which is weird to me, because you would think if DeMar's in the mid-range area, that would allow Zach to be more of an outside shooter. He just doesn't, like, I don't know. There are times, even though he's averaging almost 8 attempts from range, I feel like that should be closer to 12. It's just a weird dynamic. You have three guys on the team, LaVine, Vooch, and DeMar, all of whom are, I think it's fair to admit, offensively minded players.
Of course.
And then they have, like, one of the shittiest offenses in the NBA. That's not good.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think there's a hope for a turnaround when Lonzo Ball comes back? Assuming it's in January or whatever.
And he's fully healthy, like, no lingering issues. All right. If he hits the court running like he did last year, yes. He has really shown, like, through his absence, how crucial he was as a connective piece. I think fans tend to look at Lonzo's stat line and they go, let me just find it so I don't get the numbers wrong. Like, 13-5-5, and, like, that's nothing. It's not the stats. It's what he gives you defensively. It's what he gives you up tempo. It's what he gives you as a 3-point shooter. Right. It's what he gives you in the positional flexibility. Like last year, even though he only played 35 games, the guy was like a Swiss Army knife. You could use him as a 1, and as 2, as a 3. Like you could play him with another ball handler where he was like playing off of that guy. You could play him as a floor spacer. You could play him as a pick and roll guy. Like he's such a high utility player that when you remove that from the equation and you have no one with the court vision, with that sense of doing all those things, like you're struggling. And I say this actually looking at Io and feeling like he's done a very good job this year, all things considered, because the odds were stacked against him. I think he's responded well. But it seems like the problem is with the primary core. It's just not working. And like Vooch, I understand he struggled a lot last season, and there's this narrative around that this season is much better. And to some extent it is. I wrote about this at Forbes, but at the same time, you're also looking at it going, well, like he's taking 3 shots less per game. He's scoring less. He's a little bit more efficient, sure. But like you need Vooch to be in that 2011 kind of role, not 16-12 where he is now. Like you gave up the farm to get him. Like if you're not getting the 20-12 or 20-11 or whatever on high efficiency, then you overpaid. And we're seeing how well Wendell is playing right now. We know that the Bulls still owe the Magic a pick. It's just, that deal is looking worse and worse by the day.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, who would you rather have straight up, Vooch or Wendell Carter Jr.?
Yes. Yeah, so there's a caveat, though. Okay. There's a caveat because, and I think we've talked about this before, Wendell was never going to break out in Chicago.
Right. Like, just like Lauri Markkanen.
Exactly. Like those two guys were never going to work out in Chicago because just there was too much had happened at that point in time. They needed a change of scenery. And for Lauri, he needed 2 changes of scenery before he finally had his moment. Mm-hmm. So like if I had the current version of a Wendell from Orlando and I could just kind of migrate him over, yes, that would be beautiful. Like go for it. I would rather have Wendell than I would have Nikola Vucevic for sure. But I'm baking in the fact that if you kept Wendell around, you were never going to get the version that we're seeing in Orlando right now. And it's kind of a problem that the Bulls keep like finding themselves in this pattern, right? Because even if you go back to like the Garpax days, they so often had talent that they traded away that turned into like all-stars and like high quality players who just didn't live up to expectations in Chicago for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. I do at some point, like even though they do have had some success stories in Jimmy and like Derrick Rose and whatever, I do wonder if their developmental staff is good enough to really get the most out of their own guys while on their own time, because this is a pattern. And we look at Vooch, who was like great in Orlando over the past few years, and now he's coming in and I don't want to say the word regressed, but I also don't want to like not say it because he doesn't look like the same player.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
So I asked that question about, you know, whether there is hope for a turnaround. Because here in the Bulls' next 7 games.
Mm-hmm.
Home against Boston on Monday. And then a 6-game road trip. Milwaukee, Thunder, Jazz, Suns, Warriors, and our Sacramento Kings. Then they come home, Washington, Dallas, and at Atlanta, two against New York, Minnesota, Miami. So it softens up a bit after that. But
you know, it doesn't. And for one reason, because they are going to lose a ton of those games, and that's going to sit in their heads. And that means that when they come back home, like, I could easily see them lose, Jesus, all of them. Like, I wouldn't even be shocked if they lost to the Thunder. Like, they have had...
Well.
Yeah, they are. And Shea is right now is playing like out of his mind, and that could be enough. Even if they do get the Thunder, they're gonna lose to Boston. They're gonna lose to Milwaukee. Yeah. Utah, I don't know. Like Thunder.
That is a marketing revenge game, and you know it.
It could be, but he's tried that before and it's never worked out. Maybe this is the year. Maybe this time it works. Markkinen, for some reason, has just played poorly against Chicago when he's been against them. But maybe his newfound confidence, his newfound level of play, maybe now it's just time. And he's going to put like 40 on him, which would be hilarious. They're definitely losing to the Suns. They're definitely losing to the Warriors because for whatever reason, Steph is just a Bulls killer. I mean, he's usually everyone's killer, but for the Bulls specifically, he just... It comes so easy for him against the Bulls.
Also, Warriors are at home, so they actually have a chance to win that game.
True. And the Kings game, look, the Kings have dialed up their offense to just a perverse degree.
Yeah.
They're so good offensively right now. I could see them put 140 on Chicago, and then the Bulls will try to match.
Yeah. 150 on the Nets the other night.
Exactly. I wouldn't be shocked. And then when they come home against Washington, I could see that being a loss. Then it's the Mavs. That's definitely a loss. Then they're in Atlanta with multiple ball handlers. I mean, Brian, this could be, like, by the mid-December, this could be one of the worst teams in the NBA.
Right. So that was my question. Like, do you think they will have the patience to see this thing out, even if they go through a rough stretch over these next couple weeks or continue their rough stretch over the next couple weeks? Like, can they remain patient and say, let's just see what this thing looks like when Lonzo Ball is back?
So they don't know if he's back. That's the problem.
Right.
Billy Donovan offered an update yesterday, and they were saying, like, oh, yeah, he's not running yet. Like,
oh, good.
I mean, he felt better, and like, but he's not, like, running. So, like, what is that time frame, right? Are we talking... not even late to say. I don't think he makes it back in 2022. Like, it's got to be 2023 return date at the earliest.
Yeah.
Like January, February or something like that. So he's months away. You just can't... I don't know where the internal improvement is going to come from. Like, everyone is like, oh, Patrick Williams. Patrick Williams, even if he breaks out, is not going to make up for everyone else who are just not really on the same page. Now, would it have helped if Williams had turned into like the guy everyone thought he could be? Yes, especially from the start of the season, because that would have laid a different foundation right off the bat. But he's like improving game by game, and not rapidly. It's like slow progression game by game. Like, who is he going to be in the middle of December? I don't know. Mm-hmm. You don't know. Nobody knows. We have no idea. We have no idea if he's going to revert back to being passive. We don't know. And as much as I love Io, he's not a guy who's going to come out and say, okay, if the rest of you guys can't figure it out, I'm going to score 25. Like, that's not him. Kobe White is not that guy either. Like, he's a fine, it's a spot-up shooter, but he's also been injured a ton. I mean, he came back last night, but, you know, he's a shooter. He's not a table setter. He's not a defender. He's not a rebounder. Like, he's a spot-up shooter, and that's pretty much it. So who is going to be the guy who steps out of nowhere and kind of leads this team? Because if it's not LaVine, if it's not DeMar, if it's not Vucevic, you're pretty much screwed.
So what are the Bulls' options here? Because it doesn't feel like there is a win-now trade, and we'll get into John Collins in a bit.
Yeah.
But it doesn't feel like there's an easy win-now trade that's going to fix everything for them. Is that, you know, am I fair in saying that?
Yeah, no, I think that's totally fair. I think that's totally fair, because what should that be unless you're getting, and I think we talked about this before, like, unless you, didn't we find like a package for Anthony Davis at some point?
Yeah,
where we talked about like Vooch and stuff. Like,
the Lakers just totally
Right.
Blow things just, yeah.
Like, that would be one, assuming, of course, AD would be healthy. Like, that would right. that would be it. But that's also, like, a stretch, because I don't think that the trade that we proposed was going to be enough for the Lakers at all.
Yeah, if it was, like, Pat, Vooch, Pat, I think that, you know, they would ask for IO, you would counter with Kobe, picks, whatever. But, yeah, I mean...
Right, no, we needed Kobe for salary matching purposes as well. So Kobe was involved. Yeah.
Okay, but, yeah, I mean, you wouldn't... You wouldn't be giving up DeRozan or Levine in, the, or in that deal. Yeah.
Right, right. You would, or Lonzo Ball, for that matter.
Right,
so if you, the idea was to make them super top heavy, so when Lonzo Ball came back, you would have like Lonzo, Zach, DeMar, something at the four. I don't remember what we came up with as a solution there. And then AD at like, well,
DeMar was at four.
We actually said AD at the four and then Drummond at the five.
Oh, for the regular season.
Right. But in the playoffs, yes, exactly. Yeah. Like DeMar at the four, and then we figure out who the hell is going to play the three. I don't know.
You just go four guards. You go Caruso.
Oh, Caruso, yeah.
Or Io, and then Lonzo, Zach, DeMar.
Io, oh, yeah, because I like Caruso's energy off the bench. But like that would be the one thing, right? So yeah. That's your tops. That would be your top seven would be, okay, let's just go from top to bottom, like Lonzo, Levine, DeMar, like AD, Drummond, Caruso, and Io. That would be your top seven. And then you add in Javante Green, and then that's your top eight. Like, I'm not saying that's a championship caliber team at all, but I do think if everyone is healthy in that lineup, you know, that's a win now move.
Sure.
But that's not on, but that's totally unrealistic. That's not on the table. I mean, honestly, we need to talk about like the long-term repercussions of this because, yeah, theoretically, the Bulls could just say, fuck it, trade everything off, and then go for Wemby. Mm-hmm. But there's a catch. They could realistically end with the league's worst record.
Yep.
And they could get the fifth pick.
Yep. And that fifth pick is going straight to Orlando.
Exactly. In which case, you're just screwed yourself entirely. So the Bulls have a decision to make. Are they willing to risk that? Are they basically willing to say, look, even if we give up that pick to Orlando by, you know, being bad in the lottery, fine. But we have a chance at Wembanyama. Like, I might do it. Like, right now, the Bulls are projected to give up the sixth pick. Like, the Magic right now are projected to pick fifth and sixth.
Yeah.
So, like, if I'm the Bulls and I'm still going to end up in that area, I might as well be totally bad and just go in and say, screw it. Trade everyone. Just bottom out entirely and then at least optimize your odds of getting, like, a top four pick. And then if you have to relinquish that to Orlando, so be it. At the very least, if you're getting a top four pick, if you have the worst record in the league, that's a 52% chance. Like,
that's it.
Obviously, yeah. Top. Right. So basically,
so you would have to out tank everyone else.
Yeah.
And
you would have to finish bottom three, right? Because it's the same odds. Like right now, Detroit, Houston, Charlotte have. Yeah. So if you just finish as bottom three team, you have a 52% chance of ending up in the top four.
Yeah. Okay.
But that's still not great. That means you still have a 48% chance, a risk of forking that pick over to Orlando. So, like. The Bulls are basically in like the worst case scenario situation right now. Like it couldn't look worse.
Yeah, that's really bad.
It's really bad. And I'm all in on Wemby now because I don't think this team, even if they bounce back a little bit, like what's their best scenario right now? The play-in tournament? Okay. Right. I don't give a fuck. Like, to be honest, and like if they fight for it and they end up like, you know, 14th, like the 14th pick or whatever, that goes to Orlando anyway. But like if they go up in that lottery slot where they only have like 2.4% chance of ending up in the top four, you might as well just relinquish that pick right away. Like you need to pick a direction here, and I think the only direction you can pick is bottom the fuck out.
Interesting. Well, I mean. It's a good point, though. Like, even if they bottom out, I guess you're not just bottoming out for this year. Is
no.
the You know, like, yeah, you're increasing your chances of landing Wemby, but you're also getting a ton of stuff for DeRozan, for LaVine in particular, for Vucevic.
Yeah, so, well, you're not getting a ton for Vooch because he's an expiring contract.
Sure, but you'll get something.
You'll get something, and that's kind of the point, right? I mean, and hell, even if you don't get Wemby, if you get the second pick, that's still Scoot Henderson, so... I don't know. And it's still a risk. I get the risk. And I also understand the Bulls front office internally are going, are we really considering bottoming out and then still having a 48% risk factor of like relinquishing that pick to Orlando so we just look extra dumb? Yes, you are. But what the hell is the alternative? You're not going to fix this internally. You're not going to fix this by, you don't even have the trade assets, so go get something good. Like, I sent you a trade proposal, and this might be the best segue. I sent you a trade proposal last night for the Bulls to get, like, John Collins. You were like, I think Atlanta says no, which is, one, totally fair. But if they can't land that, then what do they do? And let me just find that deal. It was Patrick Williams, Kobe White, the Portland pick of this year, and Ellis Caruso for John Collins, Aaron Holiday, and Tyrese Martin. Like, if you can't, that's probably the best you can offer for the Bulls, unless you want to give up one of the three-man core.
Yeah.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
We will get to Collins, but I want to ask, since you've floated the blow it up thing and Kevin O'Connor, God bless him, the king of wanting to blow up any mediocre team, you know, did float this last night, which I, you know, immediately DM'd you and we quickly agreed we needed to talk about the Bulls today. You know, he was saying like, yeah, you guys actually could get a ton of stuff for some of these players. So, you know, what if you're the Bulls, what would you be looking for if you're trading DeRozan, if you're trading LaVine? Like, what types of packages would you be expecting, or would you be willing to move those guys for?
Oh, I'm looking at, like, you know, the Utah OKC models.
Just picks and young guys.
Yeah. Because if you're going to be bad anyway.
Yeah. Like, well, I mean, so DeRozan is at 27.3 this year, 28.6 next year. He's a free agent in 24, 25. So you've got him for, you know, just under 2 years. LaVine, under contract for four more years.
Forever. Yeah.
At a pretty reasonable price, especially factoring in the likely cap spike coming later this decade. But I mean, like, right around 30% of the expected cap for each of the next few years, which, you know, if you have faith in him bouncing back, that this slow start to the season is just the knee, I think it's reasonable to think he's actually one of the better players available.
Right.
You know, I'm wondering, Howard Beck has alluded to this, like, mystery player that the Lakers are supposedly waiting on to see if he becomes available. And like,
oh, that could definitely be, yeah.
So, I mean, obviously they had interest in DeMar DeRozan before he signed with the Bulls. And, you know,
DeMar no. The Lakers had interest in DeMar DeRozan until LeBron James said, no, thank you, I want Russell Westbrook.
Right. And DeMar has repeatedly said he thought he was going to be a Bull that summer.
Yes.
So,
yes. Or a Laker.
Sorry. So I would think... do you think they would give both picks and Russ for DeRozan?
I don't think the Bulls are going to give up DeMar DeRozan for just one.
Yeah.
I don't. Even if they get the salary flexibility in Russ's expiring contract, I know if they trade DeMar or LaVine or Vooch, I mean, they know that they're bottoming out, so they wouldn't care about an expiring contract. Like, yeah. If well, you're rebuilding, that's not what you care about. So I think they're looking at the picks, both of them.
And the salary doesn't even come close to matching because Russ is earning $20 million more than DeMar. So you would have
that's not a problem. Alex Caruso can return to the Lakers.
Yeah, I still think that would be a little short in terms of money.
I think you're right. Yeah, I think you're right.
DeMar and Vooch or DeMar Lonzo or DeMar Caruso and one other, Kobe White.
Well, so that's the thing. Lonzo, I wouldn't trade him.
Really?
Not yet.
Because what if his knee is just shot?
Okay, here's the thing. He hasn't played since, almost a year, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're trading at when his value is at like an all-time low. Like all-time low.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you rather just try to let him rehab, come back to the court, and just have a little bit of a success story, just a little bit, and then from there go, yeah, adios.
I mean, I don't know enough about the status of his knee to say otherwise either way, but
right.
If you are concerned that he's just cooked at this point, that he's not going to get back.
But then why would anyone trade for him in the first place?
Because the Lakers just... The Lakers don't know that.
I have to assume they do. I understand we need to make fun of the Lakers, but I have to assume they know.
Well, yeah, but like if they're trading Russ and the two picks, right. You don't think they would do DeMar and Lonzo and just pray to God that Lonzo gets back at some point? Because he would fix a lot of their issues.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, sure, if... Yeah, I mean, if they just... If it's blind luck or if they're just like, yeah, we're ready to take on that risk, fine. Like, I'm okay with that. I could see that. But also, the Bulls need to be absolutely sure that he is cooked.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's only got one more guaranteed year under contract.
Yeah, but he's only 25.
Right.
Like, he's not old.
I'm saying if he is not cooked, he's got a $21.4 million player option in 24-25. So if he does bounce back as hoped, he is clearly going to decline that and get a much bigger deal.
Right.
This isn't like LaVine where, you know, the Bulls, I think LaVine's the one where the Bulls should expect a Donovan Mitchell, a Rudy Gobert-esque haul for him. I don't think anyone else, including DeMar on this team, you can ask for that much.
No. And when I fully recognize that. When I mention the OKC and Utah Jazz models, it's like you said, just picks and young players. I don't anticipate the sheer volume of what Utah got for Rudy Gobert, for example. I don't.
No.
I just don't. And that's, you remember a couple of years ago, we had Jason Pat on the podcast and we were like, Is now the time to trade Zach LaVine because he was averaging 27 in points. Or I think at the time, 29. And we're like, should they just sell like now while the value is insanely high? And I think if the Bulls move off of LaVine now while he's like still coming back to his normal like physical stamina and all that, you might be selling short. But what if in a couple months, Zach is like right back into the swing of things? The team's still bad because it doesn't work, but he alone is producing at the level that we have seen consistently over the past few years. I have to assume you would at least be able to trade him for a haul. Maybe not Rudy Gobert-esque haul, but not necessarily far off either.
Oh, I think he should fetch a similar level for those guys. And I don't think, I was saying maybe the Lakers are waiting for this mystery star. If they're waiting for LaVine, I don't think they have enough for LaVine. Like, maybe it's DeRozan, and I think, Russ and the two picks, I would at least entertain that if I'm in blow-it-up mode for the Bulls. And, make salary match however you want, whether it's Vooch, whether it's Lonzo, whether it's, Caruso plus guys, whatever. LaVine, I would not sell unless I'm getting at least three picks back, at least one premium prospect back. But, I mean, there are teams out there that can offer that type of package still. Like, New Orleans can offer that type of package. OKC can offer that type of package.
Sacramento can offer that kind of package a little bit.
Who, like Keegan Murray?
Mm-hmm. And picks.
And I guess Harrison Barnes and Rashawn Holmes as the salary match?
Uh-huh. I'm just saying, if Keegan Murray is like right out there and you still have draft picks, because the Kings are still always very optimistic that they're going to make the playoffs, and they never do.
Sure.
Those draft picks become like fairly... Like, honestly, would the Kings have an issue? If they're going all in on the playoffs experience and they want a star, like, would they even be open to take to moving off both Murray and Davion Mitchell?
I mean, you definitely want to bet against the Kings, with all due respect to the Kings, who I love this year and I have been high on since the preseason, to be fair.
Right.
But yes, I mean, historically, you want to bet against them long term, big picture.
Yeah.
With that said, like, I don't know that Levine really solves anything for them. He's not the type of guy for Sacramento that I would go all in on. Like, New York mm-hmm. is another team that I could absolutely see shelling out the farm for Levine. But if they didn't do it for Donovan Mitchell...
Who do the Knicks have, though, who are interesting? That's the problem for me.
Quickly. Quentin Grimes. It would be very karmically funny if you ended up with Julius Randle. It's a poopal platter of...
Yeah. oh my God! I would just stop watching them. No,
after
but like
years of Julius Randle slatter, that is a big salary magic piece coming back.
No, I like okay. Tobin quickly grabs like those are fine-ish players. Just no, I don't care. Like you said it before, like a Pluchia prospect. None of those guys fit that bill. Keegan Murray does, and hell, even if you go, you mentioned the Pelicans. With first off. Levine on that team, oh my God.
Right.
That would move the needle because that is a place that would be just an insanely good fit for him.
Yeah.
Like, who do you have there? One blue chip prospect is Dyson Daniels, obviously.
Yeah.
But you'd want more.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think the Bulls are giving up Levine unless, honestly, like Trey Murphy or Herb Jones, one of those two guys, come on along as well.
Well, you can get potential. I mean, if I'm New Orleans... I think the salary matching component's the tricky thing for a Levine trade with New Orleans because, it's... I mean, you're not giving up CJ McCollum, presumably, in this deal.
No.
So I think it would have to be Devontae Graham,
and Larry Nance,
Jackson Hayes, Dyson Daniels. It would have to be like a... You're depleting your depth big time.
Yeah.
I think... Actually, that would probably work salary-wise. Or maybe even maybe you do like Graham, Hayes, Daniels, Temple.
The thing is, Hayes should just not count as like an asset.
No, he's not. He's just salary filler.
Salary matching, yeah.
Yeah. I'm just trying to like literally piece together because Levine's at $37 million this year.
Oh, I think
37.1. So
I wanted to say 38, but you're right, 37.
Yeah, I mean like Graham, if you're not including Nance. If you include Nance, like, you can get there. If you're not including him...
And the Bulls could flip Nance to another win-now team, presumably. Yeah,
right. I guess there would be a path. It would be a massive trade, and it probably would involve a third team, just because the Bulls probably don't want, like, six players back in this deal.
Right, exactly.
Let's
toy around with this. So,
well, I was gonna say, the Pelicans... Yeah. Can offer that Lakers pick swap this year, and they can offer the Lakers pick next year.
Oh, okay. So, now I feel you. Okay.
Yeah, like the Pelicans can blow a lot of teams out of the water because they have those things. Like, if you're the Bulls and you're worried that, what if we finish with the bottom three record and we send the pick to Orlando? Well, it won't matter if you got the Lakers pick swap sitting in your back pocket as well.
Okay, you know what? You convinced me. Because I had actually just kind of assumed that pick swap would just be out of bounds.
I actually don't. I mean, I'm trying to think. I don't know if, because the Bulls owe their own pick, Right. I don't know how that would work. Maybe they can't trade the pick. Maybe it would only be the 2024 pick.
Yeah, well, they would have to,
like, renegotiate with Orlando.
Yeah, that's not. Yeah, that they're not going to agree to anything.
No. Unless they're getting, maybe loop them in this deal somehow. Maybe they get Larry Nance or something. But
yeah, you can't do that. Okay, no, you can't do that because and again, this is swap. Like it would be one thing if the Pelicans. I see the problematics here. Like if the Pelicans had just owned the pick outright, like they did last year, that would have been movable.
Yeah.
But it has to be original picks. Like the Bulls can't, for example, use the Portland pick as because that's also under protection.
Yeah.
So the Bulls just can't apply that to their own. Ah, damn it. So basically that only is transferable to a team that is in possession of their own draft pick. Well, you can make a stipulant out of that. I mean, so basically the Bulls could agree to a deal where they say, if we keep our draft pick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Like you could say, that would be top four. So basically you're saying that if the Bulls end up with the fourth overall pick, for example, that's just, just an example, you could swap that with number one.
If the Lakers win the lottery.
If the Lakers win the lottery. Like the Lakers would fucking love that, by the way.
Because Wemby would end up in Chicago and not New Orleans next to Zion?
No, because they get the fourth pick instead of like wherever the Pelicans would end up.
Yeah. Like, the 2023 thing might not be realistic, but I mean, Pelicans do have fully unprotected 2024 pick from the Lakers. And
we need Keith Smith on the podcast. Like he would have had an answer to that one. Maybe there's some way to finagle this.
There might be. I don't know either way. I think the more realistic path would be the 24 pick, but regardless, unless you're really like betting on Kyrie Irving turning things around for the Lakers next year. And given his track record, I would happily short that bet.
No, but that's a good point, by the way, Brian, because here's the thing. If you can get an external draft pick for a team where the addition of LaVine doesn't move the needle for the pick that you receive, that's a win. Because obviously, if you trade LaVine to a team that's relinquishing draft picks, you have to assume that those picks are going to lessen in value. But if the picks you receive come via a third team, hell yeah. Like, obviously.
Yeah.
That would make so much more sense.
Yeah, I mean, I think if... I don't think the Bulls are going to do this, to be clear.
I don't care. I just want to, like, fantasize about this.
Right. But I think if they do shift into blow-it-up mode, I would be surprised if there's a better player on the market this year than Zach LaVine.
Yeah.
I mean, with all due respect, I don't think Bradley Beal hits the market this quickly, but I would take Zach LaVine over Bradley Beal right now.
Yeah, I would too. Despite
the start to the season.
And despite the potential knee and stuff. Yeah. All right. But let's play this out because we're already 45 minutes deep on this thing. We might as well go a little bit longer. This is like a Bulls episode at this point. Sorry, guys, but this is more important than the annual John Collins trade rumor. And sorry, and we'll Crowder.
We'll get into them in a minute.
Yeah. But like, let's assume the Bulls are basically bottoming out. They sent LaVine away to the Pelicans. They get, you know, Dyson Daniels and future unprotected Lakers picks, for example, right? Like that's the parameter. And then you have the salary matching components of Devontae and Larry Nance, and you figure out, you reroute them elsewhere and you get something. Okay. You go DeMar to LA for the 27, maybe even Lonzo Ball too, like the deal you proposed earlier. So it's Russ and the 27-29 pick, and then they get Ball and DeMar, right? Where can we send Vooch? He's on an expiring deal. Like, he might sign an extension, but very similar to, who the hell was it who signed within, like, the 120% frame, who's then still tradable. Someone signed an extension recently.
Oh, Bojan Bogdanović.
There we go. Thank you. It was Bogdanović. Like, you could do the same with Vooch, where...
Sure.
Like, it's not more than the 120%, so he's immediately... tradable.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. No, but yeah, obviously. But I mean, like, you don't have to sit there with like a poison pill status and like whatever. It would be from July 1, you can flip him. Like, what can you get for an extended Vooch? And like, how much do you take into account that he played in the system?
I mean, you could also do
get the ball a whole lot.
Like, if you are hesitant to trade Lonzo, you could trade DeRozan and Vooch in the Russ deal, and then
Vooch.
Right.
Yeah, because then you absolutely get 27-29.
Like, I think Lonzo, if healthy, and they do decide to move off of him at some point, you can get more for him than you can for Vooch. So, like, package Vooch in a DeRozan deal, and at least you get that second Lakers pick.
Can we extract something else from the Lakers? Just one, like, one more thing?
What else do they have?
If there's anything. I don't know what's interesting.
A second round pick, bro. I mean, that's it. Like, I don't know that there's anything of long-term value on that roster right now.
No, there isn't. No, they already went the Troy Brown Jr. route the Bulls did last year, so no thank you.
And like all these guys, you've got non-bird rights on most of them, so it's not like...
Right. It doesn't even matter. Yeah, okay. All right, so we just traded LaVine to the Pelicans for effectively Dyson Daniels and what? Like a couple draft picks. Like what's the war chest looking like there? It's the 2024 unprotected, right?
Yeah, and then they've got Milwaukee picks too.
When?
2025.
Okay, 2 years from now, and the Bulls will need a pick that year anyway, or need one. But they traded their 25 first round pick to the Spurs for DeRozan.
Good. Great. And then they've got 2027 as well, and 2024 and 2026 swaps.
All right. So how much of that would the Pelicans be willing to give?
Probably. I mean, I would
for give LaVine
all of the Milwaukee stuff. Like Giannis isn't going away.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that.
Yeah, I mean.
So it's the 2024 first round pick from the Lakers. It's the 2024.
Oh, and they don't even have the
first round draft pick.
The Milwaukee pick, they don't even have anymore.
Oh, they don't?
No, it got traded. That was what they ended up trading to for CJ.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. So 2024 and 26 swaps for Milwaukee and 2027 first unprotected from Milwaukee. Give it all up. Who cares?
Yeah. All right. Fine. So that's the draft package for the LaVine. Then you have the 27-29 picks from the Lakers. And I have to assume that since you're getting such a dramatic upgrade, you'd want them both of them fully unprotected if you're the Bulls.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
definitely. Okay. I mean, you just loaded up on draft capital. And then let's assume Ball returns. What can you get for Ball if he just looks like remotely healthy like he did last year?
I mean, at least one first.
Right? What's
you've got nothing left, to be fair, other than Patrick Williams and Io, but...
Yeah, but no. But then you're banking on those guys. Then you're basically saying, all right, it's like, for the rest of the season, it's Pat and it's the Io and Pat show.
Well, that would certainly give you a 52% chance of getting a top four pick. I'll give you that.
Exactly. But like, if you then just flip off. No, that's not what I mean. But if you just move all those guys and you also find like an additional first rounder for Ball somewhere, who could use Lonzo Ball, like a healthy Lonzo Ball? What would make sense? Washington?
A lot of teams. I mean, but I don't think you're getting off of him this year.
No, I don't think so either.
I think it would have to be a next year thing or this summer next year.
What about if he returns this year, plays well enough post-trade deadline? You think he could trade him for, like, a first-round pick where you know where the pick is landing and, like, maybe late lottery? Maybe outside, slightly outside lottery? I don't even know what the value is.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think you get... Because he only has one guaranteed year left and the knee... I think there would be too much concern about the knee. I don't think he could get late lottery for him.
What about like a 2025 first from Dallas?
Sure. because they probably don't care about picks right now.
He would be fun next to Luka.
He would. He definitely would. Yeah. There is a lot to sort out with the Bulls. I'm sure we'll hear some chatter if their slide continues.
Right. And remember, the context of all of this is for them to get so bad, hopefully lucky, and walk away with Wembanyama or Scoot Henderson, in which case, boom, they're right back in business.
Yeah. So with that said, there has been some fresh chatter, courtesy of Shams Charania of The Athletic on Friday. as Twitter, thank God, we got one more slap drop before Twitter goes away forever.
Right.
And it's the same slap drop we've had for the last 3 years, in that the Atlanta Hawks, you'll never believe, the Atlanta Hawks have opened up preliminary trade discussions around John Collins.
Wow.
My favorite line in this, the Suns are a team showing desire in Collins, those sources have added, but they appear uninclined to take on the long-term money of Collins. Like, I know the Suns don't do the draft, really, anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, like, do they also not understand how trades work in the NBA? Because, like, the contract comes with John Collins. You can't, like, the Hawks aren't going to pay Collins and you just get him for free.
Right.
If you don't want his money, then you don't want John Collins.
I just love the wording of it.
I know. It's just so fun. Like, they're interested, but not really. But, yeah. Kind of, but no.
Right.
Like, what does that mean?
It makes no sense.
God bless you, Shams.
Yeah.
With that said, I mean, he says they don't have an imminent deal in place, and the executives around the league believe a potential deal will be weeks and potentially months in the making ahead of the February 9th trade deadline.
Right.
You know, guys who signed in free agency this past offseason aren't trade eligible until at least December 15th. There are some who aren't eligible until January 15th.
Mm.
So that's typically when we start to see more action. With that said, I know this is a topic near and dear to your heart. You've written about John Collins recently at Forbes, and I think, if I remember correctly, your premise was the Hawks need to move him if they're not going to use him. Where would you like to see him land? Like, where makes the most sense for him? And what should Atlanta be looking for in return?
Yeah, so the thing that I proposed was basically sending him to Golden State in a three-team deal where Golden State would give up James Wiseman and Jonathan Kuminga to the Kings, and the Kings would then send Harrison Barnes to Atlanta. So some Hawks people apparently got a hold of that and said, oh, that's way too little for John Collins, which, yes, I very much agree with that. But if you insist on absolute torpedoing his trade value, what makes you think that teams out there are going to be, like, in a bidding war for him? There's a reason his name has been on the market for three stinking years. Like, you clearly can't get for him what you want to get for him because you're not playing him. Or you're playing him, but you're not giving him the responsibility that he needs to have. So I wonder if the Hawks are realistic about the return that's out there. Like, what should they want? They should want a versatile forward who is like, who can play like the three and the four. That's why I mentioned Harrison Barnes, because he and DeAndre Hunter together would be very interesting. That's a highly interchangeable, like, movement forward duo. And I like that. For the Warriors, it's a cheaper option to go for John Collins than it is Kevin Durant, for example. Like, obviously, Durant is a guy still being brought up because he requested a trade earlier this summer and all that. But, like, he's just earning so much money. It's far more feasible for the Warriors to just basically say, oh, yeah, John Collins is making, like, $23.7 million, something along the lines this year. Like, that's a lot easier than KD earning, like, 44 or whatever. So we can get that. And also, we kind of need it because we freaking stink right now. I mean, we need someone who can inject some athleticism, some three-point shooting, some explosivity. I mean, they just play a very off-brand of basketball right now where it's a little slow. You can feel their age a little bit. They have no depth. So if you don't have that depth and you don't trust the kids, why not just go for Collins instead? He would make, like, a seamless fit.
Yeah, especially if you're at least considering moving off of Draymond Green after this year.
Oh, yeah. There's a Draymond, like, excuse built right in there.
Right. Well, I mean, they have to be mindful of that. And maybe that's part of the reason they'd be reluctant to make such a deal, is that they don't want to add more long-term money to their books. And the, you know, in the scenario where they do want to re-sign Draymond, just because their luxury tax bills are outrageous and are not easing up anytime soon.
Well, they're still getting out of long-term money because, like, James Wiseman up for an extension after this year.
Yeah.
Like, eventually, although, both those guys would have to be signed or flipped anyway.
Wiseman's not getting...
No. But you know what I mean, though? Like, yeah, if you were to believe in those two guys, Wiseman and Kuminga, like, eventually you would need to pay them, too.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I'm curious to see what Wiseman gets, but that's a topic for another day.
Right.
You know, I think the good thing is, as you mentioned, Collins is cheap, $23.5 million. Mm-hmm. So pretty easy from a salary matching perspective to get there for most teams.
Right.
Like Phoenix, I would think it would be centered around the expiring of Jay Crowder, and then Cam Johnson would probably be the main piece going back to Atlanta.
I mean, so what is Cam Johnson's injury status? Wasn't that pretty severe?
Yeah, meniscus.
Yeah.
So he got it. He did the snip one where they the meniscectomy where he's going to be back sooner, but it's worse for his long term.
Right, outlook. Right. So that's like maybe in early 2023, right?
Yeah, I think they said 1 to 2 months. So yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And you've got Jay Crowder for in the meantime.
Right. Okay. Is that enough?
I mean, if you're not... Cam Johnson would be a pretty nice fit in Atlanta.
He would, but I'm also, you know... You're trying to say that Jay Crowder would be an asset coming back. And I agree with that on some level, but... Like, is he a guy you build around? Is he, like, a long-term solution there? I don't know about that.
They'd probably have to include a pick as well.
Right.
Like, a protected lottery do 2023 lottery protected.
Right.
Because they have no picks incoming or outgoing. God bless them.
Right. I don't hate the framework. I think it fits.
Pretty interesting if Phoenix decides to figure out how trades work.
That would be interesting. The thing is, though, for Phoenix's sake, can you make John Collins and DeAndre Ayton work together?
I mean, are we 100% sure that DeAndre Ayton factors into their long-term plan still?
No, but I mean, we don't know that. Obviously, if he doesn't, sure. Like, you could make that argument that you have Collins and then you can kind of pivot off of Ayton later, but if that's not the case, you know, this isn't like one of those situations where both of them are high volume stretch guys, or where one of them is exclusively like a rim running center who does that. Like, both of those guys need the ball in their hands to do stuff. Ayton is particularly so. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm morbidly intrigued, but I also could see that not working out for him. I would much prefer another wing in Phoenix if I have them, like someone who can really slide up and like maybe even not a wing, maybe just a good old fashioned like a really good stretch four, like a Markkanen type, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
That would, I think, fit more, right? Because then you have the interior play of Ayton, and then you have the outside shooting of Markkanen, whereas I know that Utah isn't looking, but my point is Collins is like best within 15 feet of the basket. Like, he's a lob threat. He can hit the three, but like, you kind of need him to attack on the interior.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Do any other teams jump out at you as particularly good fits for him?
I mean, a lot of teams do. I mean, this is where it gets so idiotic. The team that makes the most sense for him, that's Atlanta.
They beg to differ.
They beg to differ because apparently they just don't understand his value. I mean, the Bulls, obviously. I mean,
sure.
if we weren't just blowing them to smithereens, I think he's a player that kind of would fit that mold in there. I mean, he's just he would come in and add another offensive layer to their team that they have sorely missed.
Mm-hmm.
No, but I think he could be used on a lot of teams, honestly. Hell, I mean, is he young enough to like go in on the OKC like rebuild? He's 24.
Yeah, I mean, Shea's 24, right?
Right, yeah. Like, because I assume that Chet is going to be like a perimeter all-around do-it center.
Yeah.
So you could definitely make the case that you would need like a strong power forward who will just like attack the rim, rebound the hell out of the basketball, still be able to space the floor as a shooter. Like OKC is like a sneaky good fit for him, I think.
Yeah,
he and Shea together would be so fun.
I mean, Miami, but I don't know
what they have
right. Like it would Duncan Robinson would have to be the salary match, and like you're paying just to get off of him, much right. less to get anything of real value.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, like Max Strus is good. This is not Max Strus slander, but he's a free agent after this year. Gabe Vincent's a free agent after this year. They have Jovic, but they signed
Tyler. Then I feel the trade package that I sent you from the Bulls side was better.
Yes, absolutely.
What about like, I know they have Aaron Gordon. Can Denver finagle something? I don't think so, right? Like they would have to give up Gordon, but why would?
I wouldn't mess with anything there. I think Denver's got some good stuff going. The Clippers, but they've traded so many picks away.
Yeah, they don't really.
They just will always come to mind with given how many of those like mid-tier contracts they have on their books, they could very easily piece salary together, but I don't know what of long-term value that they can offer.
Right. And Portland would have made sense if they had just traded for Jeremy Grant last summer.
I'm like thrilled for Portland, don't get me wrong, but I'm kind of bummed that they are off to as hot of a start as they are, because had they gotten off to a slow start, maybe a Jeremy Grant for John Collins challenge trade.
Yeah,
because both guys could make sense for the other team as well. Right.
But you know what? Funny. I'm going through. I like have a list open of every NBA team.
Yeah,
and I'm just like going through it.
Yeah,
there is one team that emerges as like, I don't know how doable it is. But if the Grizzlies were to pivot Jaren Jackson Jr. to center full time, I mean, Jaren Jackson Jr., John Collins in the front court,
they could be pretty interchangeable.
Yeah, they could.
Collins could play the five at times,
right? And then you have Morant and Bane at the guards, and I guess Zaire Williams comes in as your three man, like your primary
Dylan
wing
Brooks for now.
Yeah, right, because he's not healthy, But, long term, because I don't think Dylan Brooks is long for this roster necessarily.
Yeah, he'd probably have to be the salary match going out if you're keeping.
Yeah, and also, like, the Hawks need a wing. Maybe Zaire Williams is the prize there. We don't know. I wouldn't hate that.
No?
Like, that would be a very fun way of putting him on a team that should also be able to realize how he needs to be used.
Could Sacramento, do they have anything?
You want to play him next as a bonus, though?
Yeah, not.
I don't love that. Seems like that's just going to be bad. You brought up the Pelicans in the LaVine trade because they can, basically offer a very good deal to virtually anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Do they? They have Zion, but like when Zion goes small, when he goes playmaking, you still have to fight with Valanciunas and it doesn't. Yeah, no, they're too big, they're too broad, and they have Larry Nance. Even if you give those up,
Boston honestly will come up and it'll piss me off if they get him for cheap.
Yeah, well, I mean, do you wear though? Like, because you have you have Tatum who plays the four now. Like he's their do it all four man, like if combo forward whatever, but like a big wing, I want to call him instead.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have Robert Williams coming back. You also have Al Horford. Unless, of course, you need... But like, why would the Hawks take on Robert Williams? I don't think they would. Like, what would be the outgoing package there?
Yeah. I mean, it does speak to, like, as much as Collins conceptually fits with a lot of teams,
mm-hmm.
there aren't a lot of, like, really obvious... Oh, okay, this is the package we can put together and this makes sense for both teams.
Right, right. Because most teams just have their, like, pseudo four slot locked up.
Right. Yeah, like, I know, you know, when this came out, there were some Sixers fans that were like, ooh, John right. Collins, that'd be interesting. It's like, all right, well, what, like, Tobias Harris and what? Mm. And why are the Hawks saying yes to that?
Well, okay, wait. So we agree that the Hawks will need, like, a good wing, right, in return?
Sure.
We also agreed that they'll win now?
Yes.
What about a package built around, like, Dorian Finney-Smith and future draft capital? Is that dumb?
No. I guess it depends on what the salary filler is and the, yeah.
No, but like, okay, so that could be like Reggie Bullock. Who cares?
I would actually entertain that if it was DFS and Reggie Bullock.
Yeah.
Or, and then, I mean,
the future pick, of course. Like, you need to align value.
And
I need to note before Hawks fans lose their shit, which I get. Dorian Finney-Smith is a lot better than what he's played like this year. Like, this is not... He's had a rough start this season.
Yeah.
He is better. He is much better than we've seen this year.
Yeah. And you... I mean, if you are... I think the overall point is, if you're relying on DeAndre Hunter more offensively, or if that's the long-term plan next to these two guards...
Correct, yes.
Then you don't necessarily need a high usage... forward as well to replace John Collins. Like, if you could just get a 3-and-D guy, which is what in theory Dorian Finney-Smith could be,
mm-hmm.
and that's where, like, the Bullock thing too off the bench, I think they're missing what Kevin Huerter brought to them, so if he could be some facsimile of that, that's interesting.
Well, they do have Justin Holiday who can give some of that, but I hear you, like, you can always use another wing, especially one who does have some two-way upside.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, some will, like, sit here and go, how, like, does John Collins work next to Christian Wood? Like, yeah, I know that they're both, like, inside-outside guys, but that kind of works to their advantage, because then when someone wants to establish themselves inside, the other one goes outside, vice versa. Like,
right.
Luka would have two bigs who he can run both roles and pops with. Like, how do you... That offense could be the league's best.
Yeah.
How do you stop that offense when you have two athletic, like super athletic, long, big men who can rebound, score inside, score outside, who can even hit mid-range shots, who can create a little on their own accord as well? Like, and they're being set up by Luka freaking Doncic? How? How are you going to stop that?
That'd be pretty sweet.
Yeah.
All right, let's wrap up. Jay Crowder, it sounded like almost got traded this week. Jake Fisher reported, I believe, on Wednesday night that the Suns were close to a three-team deal right before they tipped off with the Warriors, but did not actually complete it at the time. Shams reported Friday that the Bucks and the Hawks have been engaged on a deal for Jay Crowder. More, I would assume that Grayson Allen, from the Bucks' perspective, is the one going out, whether it's back to Phoenix or in a three-team deal. Assuming it's just, you know, Grayson Allen, maybe George Hill, like nothing of real importance to the Bucks,
right?
How would you feel about Jay Crowder landing there?
Meh. You're setting me up because
I am.
You know that I am a little bit lower on Jay Crowder than a lot of other people are. We had like we have our DM group on Twitter. We'll see how long that lasts.
For now.
And there are a lot of guys in there who just have a complete boner for Jay Crowder, which, look, guys, love you, and that's fair. I'm just not one of them. I think the inconsistency shooting-wise is a problem, and I don't understand the dramatic appeal there is in him. Defensively, yes, he's switchable. I also think he's dropped a little in terms of, like, defensive capabilities. I don't think he's as good as he used to be, which is totally understandable. He's 32, so he's lost a half a step. I don't want to say a full step. But to me, like, can you bring him into the playoffs and rely on his shooting year to year to year? I don't know if you can. And that's a thing that I would be worried about going forward, because if you're trading for Jay Crowder, presumably the idea, the logic would be, oh yeah, we need to win. Like, we need to win the title because he's a win now player. He's a veteran player. Our goal by bringing in Jay Crowder is to win. Mm-hmm. All right. Then you make the finals and then he may not show up or whatever. I know he did. I know he showed up against the Bucks in 2021. So that's fine. But he does have a lot of series where he just does not play well. Like last season against the Pelicans, he shot 11% from downtown, 33% overall. Like, I don't know if I would dare risk it. Those other guys in our DM thread, they must just have bigger balls than I do.
I mean, I think the theory is that Grayson Allen is not going to be particularly playable in the playoffs, and they're going to leave Crowder open for shots.
Right.
And like defensively, I mean, if you're throwing out a starting lineup of Drew, Chris, Crowder, Giannis, Brooke right. Lopez, that's pretty good. That's very switchable.
There's defensively, it's rock solid. Yes.
Yeah, there's not a single weak link to attack. And if you're Milwaukee, the number one thing you're thinking about right now is how do we match up against Boston in the playoffs?
But are we sleeping on Grayson Allen? Because it seems like most have completely forgotten how good he looked against Chicago last season in like their first round series. Yeah, mm-hmm. he was a mess against Boston. But there was no Chris Middleton. He was forced into a role that he couldn't carry. And sure. It was the league's best defense. Like, yeah. I feel as though we at least need to give Grayson Allen one more chance before we say that he's unplayable in the playoffs, which, again, I would also argue offensively, there are certain playoff series where Jay Crowder is unplayable, where you only play him for his defense. And as you know, I'm not a fan of one-way players whatsoever. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just feel like it's a little bit panicky. Maybe that's just me.
Yeah, that's reasonable.
I don't doubt that he can improve a team. I'm not saying he can't. I'm just saying there is definitely a concern that you, when you make it to the playoffs, that there is a crucial series that may go seven games, and then he just doesn't show up, and then you can pretty much point to him like missing a boatload of threes as him being the difference maker in why a team lost a seven-game series.
Right, when he shoots like 20% from three.
Or 11.5%, as he did last year. They won the series, sure, but... Oof. Right? I mean, wasn't pretty.
Yeah. We've already talked about a potential Atlanta framework involving John Collins, so we don't need to go back there.
Right.
Are there any other teams that you think should be in on Jay Crowder? Or, you know, I mean, I know you're just lukewarm on him in general, but
right.
You know, for, he's what, 10.1, 10.2 million this year? Like, he's pretty...
Yeah, he's cheap.
Affordable. Yeah.
Right.
So it's not a salary matching. Except for the Sixers are the only ones that are like, actually, we still can't salary match for even that.
But, right.
You know, other content Clippers could throw any one of their million guys in that range.
Right.
Anyone else come to mind for you as a Jay Crowder landing spot?
See, the thing for me is is relinquishing like value for him. Like, yeah, if you have someone on your cap sheet who isn't really doing a whole lot, fine. And if you want to attach a second rounder, cool. Like, that's where I think there's value. But if there are teams out there who are like, yeah, we could use a Crowder, we're willing to give up like a first. It was like, I probably wouldn't do that. But yeah, no, he could help a lot of teams. Like, honestly, I don't have every single salary structure inside my head, but I think he would be fun in Denver, for example. I think that would be interesting. I totally buy into him being better alongside like a proper superstar who draws a lot of double teams, a lot of like attention. And that's not to speak down about Devin Booker or Chris Paul, both of whom are formidable, and I think Booker more so. But he was playing off of Chris Paul, who I think it's fair to say has offensively lessened his own role for quite a while right now. I think you need to pair him with like a high volume superstar who has like elite court vision, so those looks he gets are at the very least wide fucking open. That would fit with Nikola Jokic. I just don't know what the salary matching component would be.
Yeah,
that's where it gets difficult.
Yeah, they don't have one.
Exactly.
Ish Smith and Jeff Green.
Well, has Ish Smith played for Phoenix?
I think so. Right?
Oh, damn it! I don't remember. He's played for so many. That's why I'm asking. Know. If he hasn't, I think we need to do it just so he has that experience. Has he played for Phoenix?
Yeah, he has.
He has 70 games. Damn it. Well, it's all the way back in 2013-14. That's why I don't remember.
Right.
In fairness, you had to check too.
I was about to say Golden State. Maybe they could trade Wiseman for him, but he's also playing for Golden State.
He's also playing for Golden State. No, I mean, I think you need to send him somewhere where there is that caliber of player in place. Like, I know some people have brought up Boston, which I think is like interesting because he does have like some experience having played there.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's viable because they also don't have like a lot of movable contracts.
Yeah, I know Cleveland came up initially as well back when, you know, when Crowder first got exiled.
Right.
We're
just playing all the hits and returning him to former teams he's played on, huh?
I know. Well, I mean, Cleveland has the hole with the three, even though he's more of a four at this point in his career.
Yeah. No, it's actually a really good question.
The Nets.
The Nets. Actually, I see your Nets and I race you the Wizards.
Yeah, that is the one thing the Wizards need more forwards.
No, but I mean, at least they need someone with a little bit of two-way upside, right? I mean,
well, they just need some dog in them.
That too.
Jay Crowder's got some dog.
He's got some dog. That's true. No, who else? Yeah, I mean,
the Blazers, but they don't have salary matching pieces.
No, they don't. Golden State?
That's what I said. Wiseman's their one.
Oh yeah, right. You just
salary matching chip. Yeah. The Pels?
Like then you would almost have to relinquish minutes for either Herb Jones or Trey Murphy. So like, why would you?
Well, I mean, if you can get out of Devontae Graham,
right?
If the Suns were willing to take back Devontae Graham,
because
he's got 2 years left on his contract after this, and they have no need for him.
What is George Niang earning? He said like $3.5 million.
Right? Yeah.
Oh yeah, that doesn't work.
It would have to be. Well, they do Furkan and Niang for him.
Tucker. Yeah. Oh god, I would do that deal in a heartbeat though, but the Suns wouldn't take back PJ Tucker for Jay Crowder, I imagine. That deal I would do in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I can't imagine they'd do that.
No, I don't either.
Yeah, Morey's. They were singing Tucker's praises last night as he had 0 points.
I know. They love him. I get it.
Player.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah. Well, I don't because I disagree, but that's fine.
Right.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. Like, there aren't really that many teams that make a lot of sense.
If the Bucks are only giving up Grayson Allen, I think they would.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I mean, I could see it. I still wouldn't do it.
Yeah. It's a similar thing with John Collins. Well, I guess a lot of the teams make sense for him, but there's not a lot of sensible trade packages. Crowder, I mean, I guess it's similar. Like, I think if you're not giving up a ton, but trying to find the trade package that gives Phoenix something back in return for him that they actually want, that's where you're running into a roadblock.
Oh, wait. I may have something, but it is with the caveat that the Suns are long-term wise looking to replace Aiden or looking to pivot off of him. What about a deal that centers around Jay Crowder and like Cameron Payne for Mitchell Robinson?
Hmm.
Tips would love Jay Crowder.
I would do that if I'm the Knicks.
Yeah, just to get out of Robinson's contract.
Yep.
Right. And maybe, again, it's just presuming that if the Suns wanted to pivot off of Ayton, they would at least have a center in place.
Yeah.
And Mitchell Robinson's contract is declining. So there's that.
What a silver lining.
It becomes less egregious by the year. That's something.
God. Yeah. Memphis, they get Danny Green's expiring. But that's not doing anything for Phoenix.
Maybe.
No, I don't know. Yeah, it's tough. Milwaukee or Atlanta, if it ended up being part of a John Collins deal. I think it makes sense that those were the two teams named, that Shams named in his report.
Yeah. I don't understand why we generally spent so much time discussing Jay Crowder.
He's going to get traded. It's almost slop season. You've got to lean into it.
Yeah, that's true. But like, so are a lot of players who are not moving the needle necessarily. I understand if you were like a guy who had like won multiple championships over the course of his career, but
sure.
Like, he hasn't. Yeah. All right. Well, I'll never get that. I would have way more interest in like a Torrey Craig trade.
Well, on that thrilling note,
he's good. Torrey Craig is good.
I know. But that will be a good place for us to wrap up. So thank you all, as always, for tuning in today. Please follow us on Twitter at the NBA Pod. You can find our Twitter handles in our bio, so give us a follow as well. You can also find us on iTunes or wherever else podcasts are found. On iTunes, please subscribe, download, leave some 5-star reviews. We're being hosted by Spreaker, so check them out on Twitter at Spreaker. As always, I'm Brian Toporek, and I was joined by Morten Jensen. Mort, we recorded this on Saturday. It's not going up until Sunday because I got to go to a friend's kid's birthday party this afternoon. So let's pray for the next 24 hours that no one that we discussed today actually gets traded.
Well, I mean, if they do, we'll just come out looking like a dual set of Nostradamuses. So that's fine.
Right. Good. Yeah. So let the record reflect. This is 12:30 Eastern on Saturday as we are finishing recording this. Let the chips fall as they may, but like NBA teams, just chill. We don't need any news. I'm just sweating out Tyrese Maxey's ankle MRI right now.
and of course, since you're going to a toddler's birthday party, this becomes more prevalent by the second. Don't die, yes. Man.
Thank you.